Joining us now, a friend of mine, I've known him a long time, back when he used to work for Senator Inhofe up on the Hill. Now he has a great website. You need to go check it out, Climate Depot. Mark Morano joins us on the line. Mark, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing, Jeff? Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, as always. Here we are kind of back at this point. We're sort of back in the resistance, it seems, assuming Joe Biden takes office on January 20th. And then we had these discussions when Obama first came on. You know, the argument then was they were trying to push cap and trade. Now, the very first early salvo in this whole climate change thing, John Kerry is back in the fray, named the climate czar. I didn't even know we had a climate czar, but apparently we do. What do you make of that decision?
Well, yeah, I was just seeing an article here from the Stanford Advocate. Biden brings back the establishment. Actually, it's from the Washington Post. But that's about the extent of it. The establishment, in this case, is the default global warming crisis, United Nations, Green New Deal, whole kit and caboodle. Cap and trade is passe. When cap and trade was just dealing with a certain sector of the economy, the energy sector, they're now all in on the Green New Deal, which is top to bottom overhaul. And oddly enough, I don't think John Kerry is a great choice for the progressives. I don't think they're going to be very happy with John Kerry. He's sort of your stodgy, old guard Democrat left-wing establishment. He is not the dynamic, youthful, energy socialist top to bottom that Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, all who helped write Biden's climate platform, are hoping for. But Kerry is going to put us immediately back in the UN process. He's going to push the Green New Deal. He's going to just be a complete, it's going to be like Obama's administration, except much, much further left, and Kerry will preside over that, and I think he'll sort of straddle between the progressive, wacky climate activists and the more traditional, unrealistic, unscientific climate activists we had during the Obama administration.
Well, the thing about John Kerry, just based on, you know, everything he did as the Secretary of State, I mean, it he is a big believer in this kind of global governance. You know, that a lot of Americans, I think it's just not in our DNA, we reject it. That seems to be, that would be the hallmark of anything of Kerry's entry into the Biden administration.
Yeah, he's going to be dealing, with the United Nations, and they're going to probably have a domestic one. I don't know who's going to oversteer, like the direct Green New Deal. But yeah, what John Kerry is here to do, he's an ultimate globalist. I mean, this is a guy who, not only did he help negotiate the UN Paris Agreement, that he said we saved the world for our grandchildren. So he brings his granddaughter in 2016 to the signing ceremony at the United Nations with his pen and his granddaughter on his lap. I don't know how old she was, 4 years old. And the idea is he was signing this document for future generations, and he has touted global governance, the whole idea of the United Nations, everyone having to answer to them for our economies, our lifestyles, our energy. I mean, they've proposed CO2 budgets for every man, woman, and child on the planet. I've interviewed people at the UN summit. They proposed planned economic recessions to fight global warming. But the most significant thing here, Jeff, and it's very simple, COVID has changed everything. And the lockdowns, what I mean is COVID lockdowns have changed everything, because the idea of a planned recession, that's really what the Green New Deal is. It's a planned recession to fight global warming. You're going to strangle the American economy and lower emissions. Well, that's what a lockdown did. And by the way, they're showing that that didn't have any significant impact on emissions, even though all the excitement of the climate activists early on in March at the lockdowns. But John Kerry is going to morph COVID and climate together. That's his unique role here. He actually, his quote was, you could just as easily replace the words climate change with COVID-19. He says the parallels are screaming at us, both positive and negative. He sees the two as the same. Climate and COVID will become one. We've already handed over in the United States, as grocery store chains are now being forced to close by some governors, the power of unelected bureaucrats to dictate our lives. And what is the Green New Deal? But unelected bureaucrats and activists deciding what is best for us and how we should live, what our appliances are, what cars we can have, what food we can eat, how much we can travel, how our homes are built, what they're made of. I mean, from every aspect. So by merging these two, it is deadly effective. They've already got people. They can never scare people on climate. They've terrified them on COVID. John Kerry is poised to step in and merge these two. And we could be looking at COVID lockdowns morphing into a weird version of climate lockdowns.
I mean, that was always the underlying point, was more government control. And a lot of times we focus on the science of climate change and, you know, how there is cause for skepticism. Well, when it comes to these theories, I think overwhelmingly there's cause for skepticism. But in reality, you look at kind of, you know, the shutdowns of earlier this year. And I think I'm stealing this from a guy who ran for Senate, U.S. Senate down here, Tommy Tuberville, is soon to be a U.S. Senator. That's what the Green New Deal will look like, is kind of what we faced under these COVID night lockdowns. You don't see any planes in the sky. You see everything closing early. You don't see many cars on the road. And that was kind of our first dose of what we could expect under some kind of quote-unquote Green New Deal.
And it's absolutely, I mean, I have a book coming out called Green Fraud. It's a whole book on the Green New Deal. As I'm writing this book this year, Jeff, I've been rewriting and rewriting. The book should now be called The Green COVID Deal, because COVID has invaded the entire climate debate. They are now calling the lockdowns fantastic for the climate. The UN, former UN climate chief, Cristina Figueres, talked about the positive benefits of lockdowns and reducing emissions. And you're exactly right. Think of the old Soviet Union in terms of the way the bureaucrats would rule and all these contradictory rules and laws, you know, don't wear a mask at first and wear a mask. And now they're talking about eye goggles. And now they're talking, you know, different kind of curfews, wear a mask in the house. You can go to a restaurant, but you can't, you know, sit inside. You got to sit outside at this time. This rule changes. This is the Sovietization of America. And they could never have achieved this, I'm convinced of this, with the Green New Deal. You cannot scare people about some future sea level rise or polar bears or some storm, but you can terrify them if you tell them they're going to end up on a ventilator or their mom or their grandparents are dead in a week if you don't follow every one of these experts' opinion. Now, keep in mind, these are the public health experts, and they have been leading with climate for years. The WHO, World Health Organization, in 2008, in 18 and 19, declared global warming the greatest health threat facing the world, long-term health threat. President Obama had said the same thing. So this was a natural marriage. And I like to say it's a climate and COVID are a marriage made in authoritarianism. And that's where we're headed. And I'm going to give you a big, you know, holiday cheer here. There is no one really fighting this. Donald Trump stumbled on this. He signed the executive order, which allowed governors to lock down. And even now, Trump has been delayed. The last weeks of the campaign, still bragging that he saved millions of people with lockdowns. He never really got it. I don't think Pence gets it. Major senators don't get it. I mean, we are fighting the greatest threat to our liberty in probably the history of the U.S. Outside of the fight against slavery and segregation, you know, this is a slavery that's going to get us all. And it's going to be unelected bureaucrats literally dictating when we leave our house, stay-at-home orders like in California between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m., everything from how you can drive your car to whether grocery stores to, I mean, this is their end game, and they are achieving it, and they're achieving it without much opposition.
And that's interesting. And
that's my cheerful note.
It's a cheerful note, I'll say. But that the opposition, is it just me? It just seems like there was more of an organized effort pushing back against this back, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago than there is now. And maybe it's just because Trump's been president, it's been kind of, you know, on the back burner.
Yeah, well, actually, a good point that you just made there, because if Hillary had won in 2016 and Hillary tried to impose these lockdowns I just mentioned, you would have Republican senators governor. You would have such fight back just based on partisan grounds. But because Trump, it's kind of like Nixon normalizing relations with China in the 1970s, only Nixon could have done it because he could never have gotten the anti-communists to sign on to normalizing relations. Well, only Trump could have got lockdowns accepted because people trusted him as a conservative Republican president. Hillary would have caused massive fight. Now, the hope is with Biden as president, maybe we'll finally get fight back. I mean, I go into a Walmart and Target every single person's wearing a mask. I refuse to, and I invoke health exemption because it's part of their corporate policy. It's part of the state policy. I don't wear a mask. No one bothers you. People don't realize you don't have to wear a mask. It's not a law. It's an unenforceable executive order. But the point is, people are sheep. And if we can turn this into partisan politics, possibly people will start fighting back against these curfews and lockdowns. But I don't know. I just think people are so afraid of a virus that they're willing to give up all their liberty. And now we have airlines and, you know, you need a COVID passports in order to fly. You're going to have a COVID vaccine. And CBS announced Ticketron. You won't be able to go to concerts unless you have your proof of your vaccine. And that's going to increase. I'm sure Walmart won't allow people. I mean, this is the world we're entering, is a world no one wants to live in, except the people who have been pushing for this kind of stuff for 50 years, the Bill Gates, the technocrats. This is the public health bureaucracy's dream, and they're using COVID the way gun control advocates use a school shooting. You know, they jump on it and try to get stuff they've always wanted passed to use that moment. Well, that's what's happening, except the difference here is they don't need democracy or legislators. They just need public health bureaucrats to scare the crap out of everyone, impose some kind of emergency measures, and everyone accepts it. So when those are then turned into a climate emergency under President Biden, I see this going on. I see this. I see the new normal being our loss of liberty here unless we fight back, and we need leaders to fight back. We need people to start fighting back. I like to say I fight for my constitutional rights one minimum wage Walmart employee at a time as I argue with them over whether I'm going to wear a mask or not.
Well, it's interesting now that maybe there's some political gain to be made, that there's some, you know, that it's that we could evoke some partisanship, perhaps, that maybe now you'll see Republicans go off the sidelines and they can use this as ammunition to better their chances in 2022 or 2024. And then, you know, whether we like it or not, that's just the system, and that's the way it works, that maybe now you'll start seeing some pushback.
You will. I think Kristi Noem, South Dakota governor, she's exactly what you're describing. She is using it. She's giving speeches against lockdown. She's against mask mandates. She has become sort of the COVID lockdown, anti-COVID lockdown fighter here. And compare her, again, to people like Mike Pence. I don't see how Pence can distinguish himself. He sort of bought this whole narrative of, you know, the public health crisis, the vaccine, the mask. I think he's too soft in terms of, unless he changes his whole image and impression. But I see people like Kristi Noem, the governor of Florida, those are going to be the people are gravitating to, the ones who were tested and they resisted and fought back. And no matter how much pressure the public health bureaucracy put on, that's the kind of Republican you want, not ones who talk a good game. You know, we have a local one here where I live, you know, Trump supporting local politician gets in and then becomes a big, you know, doing mask videos and everything, just going along with everything. And this is not, you know, what you're electing. It's very easy to sound, you know, conservative and liberty-minded when there's nothing going on. But once you're tested and you're facing a public health bureaucracy and you're told if you don't go along, people are going to start dying and dropping in the street, and you fall for it, you can fall for it, but you better recover. And like, that's what happened in Florida. He definitely didn't. DeSantis didn't do that well. So I think the partisanship is the greatest friend to liberty. So if Republicans can start opposing lockdowns just because Biden supports them, that would be a great first step. But ultimately, we need to go after this whole thing, and because they're going to be adding climate. I mean, look at the words, the headline at Climate Depot. John Kerry is doing everything he can to say COVID and climate are one and the same solutions. So they're going to keep these measures in place. Why? Because they're the same things they've wanted to do for climate for decades. The public health bureaucrats have wanted to do this for decades as well. It's full of progressive left wing, like the National Teachers Union. So this is not some surprise. No one didn't. Anyone? No, we didn't see it coming. This is where we are, and we have the fight of our life to actually even get 50% of our liberties back. This is not going to go away. It's not just going to fade away. They won't let it. They've wanted these kind of controls and Sovietization of America for decades, and they're not giving it up.
I mean, it's interesting.
Sorry, again, careful though.
whenever you hear Al Gore or somebody talk about this, I thought at the initial onset of COVID-19, these climate activists were really worried about their hobby horse being overtaken by COVID. But now it looks like they have regrouped, and the strategy is let's try to merge the two issues and make them make, let's try to conflate them and make them one. And that appears to be what John Kerry has done.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was jealousy at first. Kind of like, hey, what about climate? But then they realized, again, the World Health Organization declared climate the greatest threat. Now COVID is, so they're just merging them. And by the way, we're re-entering the World Health Organization under Biden. So, you know, this is, you know, it's incredible. In the other area, John Kerry, he claims that climate is the greatest national security threat. And I have a whole chapter in my book, The Politically Incorrect Guide, with site Center for Strategic Studies and Pentagon, just showing not only is a warming atmosphere in times of warmth, that is the time of peace. It is colder times that have led to war. John Kerry has it exactly backwards. And actually, if you look at Trump's presidency, it was one of the most peaceful presidencies in terms of lack of conflicts around, and we've allegedly had record temperatures. So even Trump's presidency defies that. But we're going to get all of that pummeling us on. And my fear is we may have lost Fox News in the battle here. And I'm not saying that because Fox News.
Hey, Mark.
I'm not saying it because Fox News is no longer supports Trump, but yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have bought into a lot of things. Mark, we're about out of time here. Real quick, folks want to find Climate Depot. I want to check you out. Tell where to go.
Yeah, go to climatedepot.com, and I have a book out, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change, and Climate Hustle 2. You go to the top of the website, or go to climatehustle2.com. A movie narrated by Kevin Sorbo goes from A to Z, goes to children indoctrination, global warming, religion, all the weird solutions. We open with the COVID climate connection. I think you'll be very entertained. It's available for streaming online or DVD.
Mark, as always, thanks for making time for us.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it.
All right. Mark Morano, Climate Depot, ladies and gentlemen.